everyone, and welcome to Growing Social Now. I am here today with Jeannie Walters, and Jeannie is the CEO and founder of Experience Investigators. She spent more than 20 years evaluating and improving customer experiences and teaching her trademark methodology to enlighten leaders in many industries. She's a certified customer experience professional, CCXP, a charter member of the Customer Experience Professionals Association, a professional member of the National Speakers Association and president-elect of the Illinois chapter, a LinkedIn learning instructor, and a TEDx speaker. She's passionate about improving the everyday interactions we all have as customers and writes, speaks, studies, and trains on customer experience issues around the world. Her mission is to create fewer ruined days for customers. Jeannie lives in Chicago with her husband and two teenage sons, as well as a very spoiled dog. And so, Jeannie, one thing you did not put is that, you know, you and I have known each other for 15 or 20 years, which is fine.
Yeah.
And, it's really great to have you on. And thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's fun to be here.
Yeah. I remember when I first met you, we were talking a lot about the customer experience and customer service. And I thought, you know, I think that's really important, but I wonder if companies really feel like it is. And now there's almost nowhere you can go without being asked about the experience. And you can almost tell sometimes that the rep is really conscious of what kind of rating they're going to get. Sometimes they'll even ask you. Mm-hmm. But I know customer experience goes really deep. And I wondered if you could just give us a little intro of what customer experience means to you.
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of times people do use customer experience and customer service interchangeably. And the way I define customer experience and the way kind of the industry defines it is we are talking about the end-to-end experience in every single interaction that a customer has with your brand, because all of those interactions leave somebody with a feeling, with a perception, mm-hmm. and that actually creates how they think about your brand, how they think about their experience. So customer experience is essentially a mindset. It's about how do we do this? How do we deliver for our customers? What promise have we made them and how do we live up to that? As well as a strategy. So you have to put actual goals and, you know, make sure that it's going to work for the company as well as for the customers. And then it's a business discipline. It's how to get things done so that you can really get the results that you want by investing in customer experience.
Wow. And that's so important. I think, you know, just the feeling and the emotion. I think sometimes people aren't even conscious of aware of how a brand and an interaction can really affect them. Mm-hmm. But if it's a good emotion, then of course we're much more likely to want
to. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, social media, that's one thing you and I really came on board, I think, about the same time back in the mm-hmm. mid-2000s. And we were on Social Media Club Chicago's board together. And so we kind of were people who were at the beginning who had some faith that social was going to go somewhere. I know some people were like, why are you even
doing this?
And look where we are now. So how do you think social has changed the customer experience? And also, how do you think customer experience has changed social?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I started this business in 2009, and that was kind of the dawn of when I started recognizing that, you know what, there were all these barriers between customers and brands that were falling away because of social. All of a sudden, customers had a voice like they had never had, and they had a direct line. They had a way to kind of knock on the door in a way that they hadn't had before. And so, you know, that was part of what drove me to really start the business when I did, because I felt like it was becoming an opportunity and maybe a missed opportunity for a lot of brands. And then I think since then, you know, it's become a lot noisier and people are out there and they're using it for all these different things, and brands have become much savvier about it. They have full teams. I think the way it's changed customer experience is we have to now pay attention to the way that customers want to interact, not the way that we ask them to interact. So we can't just say, call our 800 number and hope for the best, right? Like we know that people are going to be coming in through Twitter and through Facebook. Now, Instagram just released the Messenger API. And so that's changing the game. There are all these different ways that we can interact as customers. So brands now, and all companies really, have to be really prepared to understand where customers might come in and then be available to serve them in that moment. And it's a really tall order. We are asking a lot of the leaders of businesses today to manage the customer experience in this way. And so there's a lot that has to go into it, but I think customers really appreciate when they feel like they're in control and when they feel like they're recognized wherever they are on their journey.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I like what you said, you know, we really have to find meet them where they are, because if, you know, they're all knocking at one door and you're on another side of the internet or the universe and there's nobody answering them, then it's a real problem. So what is that customer journey mapping like? I know a lot of times in marketing, we talk about, you know, everything about the funnel or, you know, awareness, but there's the customer experience has a journey of its own.
So a lot of what I do with clients is around customer journey mapping. And essentially that's an exercise to really get into what is the customer's experience like. I talk a lot about flipping the script because many organizations have process maps. They have things that say, you know, we go from marketing to sales, and then we send them into account management, or we transition mm-hmm. them to customer success. But the customer experiences that very differently. And so we have to make sure that we're really understanding things from that customer's perspective. And now there are all these amazing tools. You can integrate feedback data. In some of the cases, you can integrate artificial intelligence for predictive behavioral analysis and things like that. So there are ways to really understand customers in new ways, but none of that matters if you don't take the time to actually really try your best to understand what that journey is like for them. Because when we are designing experiences from the inside out, we're designing that to be efficient, to be effective, to be profitable. But sometimes we skip a step. It's like if you've ever written a recipe for somebody, you know, you might think, oh, you just throw this in the thing and you sear it. Well, if nobody's seared something before, they don't know what that is. And right. So you have to really think about that perspective. And I think that's what journey mapping can do. It can really highlight where are those gaps, where are those pain points. And I can't tell you how many times we'll be doing a journey map and everybody there who works for the organization will say, oh yeah, that stinks for the customer. We know that's terrible for them, but nobody's done anything about it for decades in some cases, because maybe they didn't know who should, or maybe because it wasn't enough to show up in their results yet. Mm-hmm. And so we have to really, you have to kind of believe in the process, and you have to believe in doing the right thing for your customer. And then it can be super, super powerful. It's just a great way to understand customers in a really powerful way.
So would one way to do it would be just to look at where are potholes right now, if you will, and, mm-hmm. you know, just to, because then that way it'll bring awareness that there are problems.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are so many ways to do journey mapping, but if you do a high level journey map where literally my job in a lot of what I do is asking a lot of questions like, okay, what happens next? What happens next? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? Mm-hmm. What are the expectations that they have in this moment? Oh, they expect to be able to find something in this moment. Can they find it? Do we have data that tells us people aren't finding that? So what are we going to do about that? So that's, I mean, one way, but you can do current state, which is what is happening today. You can also do ideal state. What do we want to happen for the customer? And then match those up. And that tells you a lot too about where are we falling behind? What design do we have to do? What innovation do we have to do? And I've done a couple of LinkedIn learning courses on this subject because I think it's something that everybody can use, and we can make it super simple. Like you can do this in a couple hours and make it super simple and still get information, or you can go into really robust ongoing journey mapping, which is ideally the way to do it, where you update it every few months, every few quarters, whatever you can, and you keep getting response to those innovations that you're trying. So as you improve the journey, you're still mapping it, you're still evaluating it to see if those improvements did what you wanted them to do on behalf of the customer.
Wow. Yeah, it can be really, really complex. And is it more complex for B2B, do you think?
Yeah, it's funny because I get that question a lot. It is definitely, but part of that is because B2B often has layers of customers. You might have a buyer and then you might have an end user. You might have different industries that you're serving or different products, or everything's very custom. So it's layered in a different way. B2B is a little behind in customer experience in general. And so they have a ways to go to kind of get to that point where they're really able to be as robust about this as we would like them to be. But I think the trick with B2B that sometimes it's easy to forget is we're still dealing with people. And even though people will say to me, well, our customers are enterprise, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the person who we're mapping the experience for. So you really have to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page with who are you mapping for and what is the goal of the map? Why are you doing this to begin with? What is the scope? All of those things. Mm-hmm. And if you can start with that and define that really well, then this can be incredible for B2B. I've seen so many amazing transformations with B2B because they've just never thought about it, right? They've never thought about the fact that when we use words like soon, what does that mean? Is that 48 hours? Is that 20 minutes? We don't know.
Could be 2 minutes. You never know.
And exactly.
I did a presentation about B2B sales and marketing once, and I found a study that said that the emotional sales component for B2B is actually a lot more risky than B2C. Because think about it, if you're putting in a whole new system, that affects an entire population of people.
Yep.
And so these are really big decisions that have long lasting repercussions. And that's why I think the customer journey mapping is a great idea.
Yeah. So yeah. Well,
have it laid out before they take the journey.
And the other thing that I bring up a lot too, is when we're gathering customer feedback, that can be a lot more emotionally wrought in B2B. Because if I have a relationship with my account manager, or my customer success manager, and we play golf and we're buddies, I'm not going to necessarily reveal if I'm shopping around because my boss wants me to. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to necessarily say that I'm unhappy because I might not be unhappy with that person. But those relationships are so tight that it's almost harder to get honest feedback from those relationships. So I think it's really easy to oversimplify what B2B is. Mm-hmm. And it is super emotional. And every single decision we make as human beings is emotionally driven. And so even if you are that person who's making that decision about the system and lining up all the spreadsheets in the right way and making that very rational, at the end of the day, you still won't go with an organization where you don't like the people or where you don't feel safe or where you don't trust them. And so that's all emotionally charged stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part of customer experience, no matter what.
Wow. Wow. Well, you do such important work, and I love what you do. And then so let's switch a little bit to how you talk about your company and how you promote Jeannie Walters. And I know you have a podcast. Mm-hmm. So how has that helped your business?
Yeah. Yeah. So back in 2014, my co-host Adam Toporek and I started Crack the Customer Code. And essentially it was kind of honestly started on a whim. Podcasts were a relatively new thing back then. Mm-hmm. And Adam and I just, had a certain chemistry that I thought would work. And so we've been interviewing leaders of all kinds, from customer experience and marketing and everything, as well as just kind of doing episodes where we talk through topics. And we did that for however many years, week after week after week throughout the years. And now we've actually gone to a seasonal model. So we have three seasons a year now instead of the whole year. But it's been great. I mean, I think the thing about podcasts that I find so fascinating is you never quite know who's listening. The metrics are notoriously difficult to get. And I've had the weirdest encounters, but so funny. Like my cousin who lives in Atlanta, he out of nowhere emailed me on one of our early episodes. I interviewed our friend Rashid, who is our Chicago cabbie friend.
Oh yeah.
And we interviewed him because he did such amazing work early with social customer care as a cab driver.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, my cousin emailed me after that and said, "Oh my gosh, I love that episode." And I was like, "Whoa, you're listening? This is so crazy." So it's that type of thing that's really fun. And of course, partnering with Adam has been a journey. And, you know, he's now one of my family members.
I didn't realize it was all the way back to 2014.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We're that's on impressive. Almost episode 500. We're really close.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what
crazy.
What kind of party are you going to have for that?
I don't know. I think if it were up to Adam, he would just be able to take a nap and I would stop bugging him.
Yeah. I like that idea of seasons. I'm thinking with this podcast, I want to do like Netflix and do, you know, series of episodes around a topic or a location or something. because I think people, if they want to binge watch something, they're so used to watching a bunch of shows. So maybe they would enjoy that too. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I know on social media, I always enjoy following your updates. And I saw that you were mentioned in the Wall Street Journal. So as a PR person, that is like, you have, you know, you've gone to the Super Bowl and, you know, the whatever it is, that golf thing, that's the really big one. And then the big,
yep,
you hit them all at once. So how did you get in the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, it's crazy. Knock on wood and all those, you know, superstitions. But, you know, in the last, I would say, 15 months, we've been really putting a lot of effort into our content and putting a lot of effort into a regular cadence of just kind of offering value. And that started partially because of the pandemic and partially just because we were kind of already upping our game, and then that hit. And so it kind of allowed us to really invest in that. So some of it is just being out there a lot. I'm a big believer in that and being as helpful as you can be. And so on Twitter, somebody else I knew had seen this reporter say that they were talking about something customer experience and put us in touch. And so that happened actually in May, and I got a little mention then, and then she called me again about something else. So that's what just happened. So it's great. I think it's like anything else. It's building relationships and offering value where you can. And I think that's, it sounds so simple when I say it like that, but it's also, I've been doing this for 20 years. So I have been, you know, putting things out there for a long time and building those relationships with people who then remember my name when customer experience comes up. So I wish I had like a better formula to provide everybody, like, oh, you just do this, this, and this, because wouldn't we all like that? So
yeah, it would be great. And Dahlia said the same thing. I interviewed Dahlia Safer, and she said, it's really knowing the reporters and being a good resource. And I would have to say that too, because when I was doing media relations for clients, reporters would call me and ask me questions that had nothing to do with anything I covered, but they knew I would know the answer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you really have a high expectation of what I know. And they're like, well, you always do. And a lot of it is Google, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I do agree with the regular cadence. I think that's really, really important. You really have consistency there. So what platforms are you using right now for social that are working for you and your business?
Well, LinkedIn has been really great. We do a LinkedIn live session every week. And then, and I've been really fortunate with my relationship with them. I've recorded 5 LinkedIn learning courses. So
that's fantastic. Wow.
That's part of that. Thank you. And they, and now they have this new creator status that I'm trying out. So they've got all these.
Wow. Stop just a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you are on Creator. I've like been looking into that and just, yeah. So what's it like?
I don't know all that much about it. I'll be honest. I think part of it is switching from that connecting to following. And then you do get some different ways to kind of show your content. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're offering that to people who are doing a lot of content creation. So you can feature different things, different ways and things like that. I'm still kind of exploring there, but, we started a LinkedIn newsletter not that long ago too. So I've been writing articles there for a long time, and we just kind of flipped the switch and made it a newsletter. And that's been amazing too. So that's LinkedIn is working really well. And I would say, you know, that's kind of where the people are looking for the type of content I do as well, which is, you know, kind of, you have to be a little bit of a business geek to like what I do.
Well, absolutely. And you know, there are people who are really hungry for that. And you're so likable. And I mean, ever since I've known you, I always get a smile when I see you, because you're so friendly and approachable. And that's one thing that really shines through with you and your social media is you are a genuine person who really cares.
Thank you.
It's true, you know, and I think people are attracted to that, because there are a lot of people, and as a marketing person, you know, I love all the fellow marketers, but some are just like, they just are too marketing for me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you know, I'll be honest, we struggle with that too, because
it's a fine line sometimes,
you know, part of what you want to do is put your stuff out there and get, you know, the audience that you built. But I'm struggling with that as we scale, like as I'm building the business, I'm struggling with like, how do I do this in an authentic way? And how do I make sure that as we bring people onto the team, that they aren't exactly like you're talking about, like just putting a megaphone out there. And that's hard. It's something we're navigating a little bit, but that's why I'm trying to really stay true to our core content and make sure that that's kind of our backbone.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. And I imagine you would have to grow a team. I mean, what you do is very exciting and it's wonderful, but one person can't do it all. So what does your team look like right now?
I've had a director of marketing who's, he wears many hats. He's been with me about 3 years. And then we have a really top notch assistant who does a little bit of everything. And then I have a contractor right now who's helping me on the consulting side, but we're actually building that part of the business as well as building some more support around social media and marketing and all of those things, because it's challenging to keep up. I mean, it's a good problem. I hate even like saying that, but getting to scale is one of our goals this year.
Yeah. And you do have to have a team in place. I think it was way back maybe in 2009 or 2010, someone who was a big person in the social media space pulled me aside and said, you need to hire someone to be you. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to do that. But they had hired someone, because I was like, how could they be everywhere? How could they do all these updates? Because even, you know, it takes a lot of time. And even if you have the time, sometimes you don't have the energy to go back and forth. And if there's a lot of replies, I mean, it can just be so wearing. So I think that's one, I don't know if I'd call it a tip or what if you wouldn't want to give any insights on this, but is outsourcing your social media to someone on your team a good idea? Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we do that partially right now, but I think one of the things that I have to figure out is like, what direction do you give people for that when you've been the voice of it and when you're the brand kind of, that's tough. So I think there are a lot of people who are willing to kind of get out there as a promotional tool, and that's not exactly what we need. So it's hard to find the right person. It's hard. I mean, you know, I've been struggling with this for a while, and I think I brought this up at our board reunion about a year ago. So this is something that I'm continuing to grapple with. And I think that's something, because in a way, it's because of how social media has grown up too, because now, you know, the social media roles that are available now for corporate brands and things like that, those are really significant, and they have very clear goals and direction and things like that. And I'm looking for somebody who can kind of bring that to us in a more casual way. And that's, I think it's a little challenging, but
I think it's challenging, and it's also, you want to make sure that it's right, you know. So the person I talked to found a perfect person, which is great. So I know it's out there, but I think if we flip it back to the brands, we had Jeff Linger and I did an interview with Ellie Deutsch Moody, who was also on Social Media Club's board with us, and she was talking about McDonald's and social media. And oh my gosh, when you think about the layers that a brand has to have. So I guess, you know, just to kind of wrap up this part of the discussion, social is just, it's become an integral part of every business and every person's life now.
Yeah. I there's no doubt about that. It's just, I think it's a matter of choice now, which is different too. You know, people can choose which channel, how often they interact, all those things. And that creates its own level of complexity.
It does. Yeah. When we got started, I was saying to people, okay, you know, you're going to have your own social media channel, your own brand. And they're like, oh, what are you talking about? But it really has come to be that way. So if you were looking at the future of social media, what kind of predictions would you make?
I think from my lens right now, I'm very interested in how social is being used as a communication channel, direct communication channel for customer service and experience issues. And so getting ready for that and automating that as best we can at scale, and leveraging the amazing tools that are out there with AI and natural language processing and all those like amazing tools that I don't know exactly how they work, but I think they're totally cool. Because, you know, you think about this next generation coming up, they do not want to pick up the phone. They're not willing to do that. And so if you are on Instagram and you're shopping and you have the shopping capability, then you better have a service and experience capability too, and be ready for that. I just had an experience where I was trying to contact a brand through an app, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting on their virtual chat. And then finally I had to go, and I went back, and for like 3 days now, it says, well, this channel isn't available right now. I was like, well, that would have been good to know. I would have hung out, you know, like, setting expectations, I think, is key. And that's going to become more and more important on social.
I agree. And I think these bots are going to be more important too. I was hesitant to do a chat. I had a website issue and I was hesitant to do a chat. So I tried to figure it out myself. I can't tell you how many hours, probably two or three. I tried to fix whatever problem it was. And I typed in the problem into the chat and the bot figured it out and sent me the answer like in a minute. Yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah. You know,
it's amazing. I mean, and they're going to get smarter and smarter and smarter. And I think the other side of that, that sometimes we don't see, is that when we do contact a real live person on the other end of that, AI and things like that can help them find those answers. And so this whole cycle of kind of managing knowledge in a smarter way, I think is just really exciting for what we can do for one another.
Yeah, I agree. So Jeannie, I have one question for you is, what is your word of the day? If you could choose a word, what would be your word?
Ooh, my word of the day. I think this is a weird one, but right now I'm thinking integration a lot, like integration of making sure that we really understand who we're serving and what their whole lives and ecosystems look like so that we can serve them better, because it got really disjointed for a while. And I feel like social too, like if there's a way we can pull together and say, this is who we are and, you know, where we are on our own journey, I think that is when we really connect. So I get excited about that.
Yeah. I love that word. That's really good. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us that we haven't covered in our talk before we go?
I mean, I can offer something if that's okay.
Because
we, this year, as part of our kind of get value out there, we created something called Year of CX, which is free resources every few weeks. We have some workbooks, we have guides, we have all sorts of things that are real resources for setting up your customer experience strategy, and journey mapping is in there, all sorts of things. And you just have to sign up at yearofcx.com. So it's available for anybody who would like it.
Wow. That is a great gift. Oh, that's just, I mean, really, I mean, that's, and if you can get people just understand what it is, then when they need the expert help, you've got an easier time of consulting with them too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we want people to do this. This is our mission in the world. So take it on.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and where can people find you online? So
Sure. We're everywhere. You can find me at experienceinvestigators.com, which is our site. I'm on Twitter as Jeannie CW. You can find me all over LinkedIn and Instagram too. I'm Jeannie Walters on Instagram.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeannie. It's first of all, it's been a pleasure knowing you all these years. They've gone by so fast.
I know.
Every time I talk to you, I just love to learn more, and you've certainly helped us out and just given us a whole new appreciation for what customer experience is today. So,
well, thank you for having me. This is really exciting. Congratulations on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again, and I wish everyone an amazing day.